Okay, I want to read something to you now from Philippians chapter 2. This is our passage today, Philippians chapter 2. However, this passage comes with some questions, so you've got to be ready to answer. So children here as well need to be ready to answer this question, okay? Everyone does. So it says in Philippians chapter 2, it starts off by saying, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Does anyone here have any encouragement from being united with Christ? Yes? Yes? Great, okay, we do. And if any comfort from his love, do you? Yes, good. If any common sharing in the Spirit, if any unity or fellowship in the Spirit, do you have that? Yes, okay. If any tenderness or compassion, does anyone have any tenderness or compassion here, even a tiny bit? Yes? Yes? Okay, so we're saying yes to all of these. Okay, so what does he want to know? What does he want, Paul, as he writes this? He says, then make my joy complete. How does he want us to make his joy complete? This is what he says. By being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value other people above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of other people. So he said, if you answer yes to those questions at the beginning, then it would really make him happy. It would really make his day. It would be the one thing that he'd ask for before he dies. He's writing to this church and saying, if you get the love of God, if you have come into a relationship with God through Jesus, and you understand all that, then the one thing that would really make it for me before I die is that you can be one like that. You can share that same love with one another and be like that with one another and enjoy that same unity. That's what he's pleading with them. And then he goes on to say, because by doing so anyway, we're just following the example of Christ. Because we're followers of Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. So we want to follow his example. And this is his example. So he goes on to say this next bit, which we can all say together. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mind or attitude as Christ Jesus. We put that up. Verse 6, Philippians 2, 6, Dan. There we go. So let's say this together as we go through it. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name is above all every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Finishing off with a man in the Bible who took risks, and it's from this passage in Philippians 2, but we're going to have a reading first from Pam, who's going to read for us. Pam.
As you've heard, we're reading from Philippians 2 from the NIV version, and we're starting at verse 25 to 30 and then verse 18 from chapter 4. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he also died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now, but have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I know it's getting on time-wise. I've planned actually to be finished by now, but I haven't. So, but bear with me, because this, it'll only be 10 minutes, but this is important at the end of what we've been talking about, the end of Philippians chapter 2. I want to just tell you this story about this guy, Epaphroditus. Has anyone heard of him before we mention Philippians 2? Epaphroditus? Hands up if you'd heard of him before. Yeah, okay, so some of you had heard of him, some hadn't. Epaphroditus is an amazing character in the New Testament who took a huge risk for God. He was sent by the church in Philippi to go. The Philippians were the church that Paul had set up, knew that Paul was in trouble in Rome, and he was under house arrest there. So he had to stay in one place. He couldn't move around freely. And so they wanted to support him. And so they had a collection, an offering for him to support him, because he was still trying to minister from where he was, but he had to stay in the same place. They had a collection, and Epaphroditus was sent with the money to go to him, and made a long journey with this money all the way to Rome. And when he got there, he tried to help Paul, but while he was there, he got really ill, seriously ill, and he nearly died, as it says. Not only that, but he could have been killed on the way. Travelling with all that money, all of that way, he took a big risk with that as well, because he could have been mugged and robbed, and bandits and so on were around. They could have taken him. So he took a big risk to go there, and he took a risk, and he lived in the conditions that Paul had to live in there as well. Got really ill. Now the Philippians got wind of this. They heard that this had happened, and so they were scared and worried for Epaphroditus as well. They were concerned for him. And also they were beginning to think, maybe it hasn't been such a blessing to Paul after all, because now Paul's worrying about Epaphroditus and it isn't very helpful for him. So there was all this worry and concern going on, and Paul wants to send Epaphroditus back to them. And he sends him back with a letter, and he says, I'm sending him back so you won't worry about him anymore. He's now better. He hasn't failed in his mission. I know some of you think that he's failed and he's not been a blessing to me, but he has really been a blessing to me. He came all this way, he risked his life, and Paul calls him a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier in Christ's work. And Paul's saying thank you to the Philippians for the gift, not just of the money, but of Epaphroditus himself, who came to help him. He says he risked his life for the work of Christ. He risked everything. And the Greek verb that is used there is parabolomai. Have you heard that word before? Parabolomai. It's this Greek word that's used. It only appears once in the whole New Testament. And a word that only appears once is called a hapax. And it's a gambling term. A gambling term, a risk term. Remember the cards we had before, taking risks? It's a gambling term, a risk term, that means to gamble all. So put everything on this. So I guess for a gambler, it would be putting all their money that card is going to be the right one when they turn it over. That's the word that's used. It means that Epaphroditus risked everything. He put everything into this mission. He nearly lost his life to do it, to care for Paul. So Paul is so grateful for him. Now, why is that in... where do we go with that? Well, about 190 years after this... About 190 years after this happened, about 252 AD, in a place in North Africa called Carthage, there was an outbreak of the plague. And lots of people got really ill and were with the plague and were dying. And so as people had the plague, and it's contagious and people can catch it, obviously, and die, they wanted the people who had the plague to be outside the city walls. So they made them all go outside the city walls, and they used to live in community outside the city walls until they died. The problem was that in the city walls, when anyone got ill, they didn't want to take the chance that they would be, it wasn't a plague. So someone could start with a cold or something like that, or just get ill with something else, but they wouldn't know if it was the plague or not. So the mayor decided that anyone who got ill, they needed to be outside of the city walls. So they started to put other people outside the city walls that didn't have the plague at that point as well. And we had lots of sick people outside the city walls. Well, there was a bishop of the church in Carthage called Cyprian, and he called the whole church together and he said, "What are we going to do about this, guys? We've got all these sick people out there. How are we can't just sit by as a church and watch this happening." But people said, "Well, what can we do? If we go out to help them, we can catch this plague as well. We could get ill as well." And they talked about it and they prayed about it. And you know what they decided to do? They decided to take that risk at the expense of themselves and go outside the city walls to help these people. And this group of people went out to help, and they became known as, by other people in the town, they became known as the risk takers. Or the term that they were known by was the parabolomai. The parabolomai. A group that would risk everything to help the broken and the needy and the marginalised and the vulnerable then began to evolve. And between the years of 252 AD to about 850 AD, a movement called the Parabolomai existed that came from the church. People from the church called the Parabolomai who would risk everything, willing to step outside the safety of city walls, or later on, as it was, church and home comforts for the kingdom of God. People willing to risk ridicule or social standing or position or possessions or reputation or criticism in order to spread the word of God and care for other people. Not just because they go to church, but because they do anything to show God's kingdom, stepping beyond what's safe and conventional in order to be authentic with real gospel living. Now, Epaphroditus was commended by Paul because he was a risk taker. He gambled everything on the gospel and he was willing to give all and die for what he believed. And the church in Carthage are remembered and honoured 1,800 years after that because they took a risk that led to a whole movement of risk takers spanning six centuries and had a major impact. Now, my question to you at the end of this service today is this. Would people describe the church today as a risky bunch? Or do they perhaps think we stay in our building and we're safe? Maybe even boring. Are we a risky bunch? Are you impressed with what the people from Carthage did? And Paul commends Epaphroditus. What are we willing to do? What are we willing to risk in order to take the good news to other people and show other people the kind of love that Christ showed to us? What are we prepared to do? What are we prepared to self-sacrifice in order to do that? That's what this whole chapter in Philippians 2 is all about. Before Paul commends Epaphroditus, he commends Timothy for the same thing and his sacrifice. He says he was willing to put everyone else before himself. That's what Timothy did. That is true gospel living. That is a true response to the gospel. Dying to self and living for Christ and living for others. What risk could we take in our own town, or could we take in our own life for Christ and his kingdom? The apostles risked befriending Saul, who was a bully and a murderer, we read in Acts chapter 9. He befriended people. We could befriend people others don't want to be friends with, that might take up our time or might make us lose friends. The apostles risked preaching after they'd been warned not to when they were in prison and let out of prison, Acts chapter 5, to tell people about Jesus. We might get bullied or unfriended for it in some way. What things could we do to take risks? What risk could we take? How far could we go in taking the good news to others? That's it. That's the challenge from Philippians 2. And I'll leave it with you and with me, for us as a church and as individuals, to go forward with. Go and bless someone this week. Go and pray for them this week. Or go and tell them about Jesus this week, or something of your faith, or that you were at church this morning, or whatever it may be. Even if it feels uncomfortable, if it can do good for somebody to know that, who you know, or to be blessed in that way. Let's do that this week. And then in the future, there's going to be opportunities. I'd love to do it next week, but I'm not here. But in the future, in September, we're going to have opportunities to hear testimonies and stories from people as well. And we want to hear good news stories about things that have happened as we've gone out and shared things, so we can encourage one another with it. Sometimes it'll involve taking a risk, but let's be those people. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this chapter, Philippians 2, the challenge that it gives us. Thank you that we have a joy and a hope in you. And now as we go from this place, I pray your blessing upon each and every person here. Amen. Amen. Thank you.